Steve, at the end of the MLS season, head to Darby County in the English Championship, where he will be a player coach. Coming up today on the TC Martin Show, going to be Brian Salmon from Channel 3 up at Raiders camp, and it's Tuesday, so you know it's a terrible Tuesday.
Parte Florenzi, eccolo il cross tagliato di testa, Keita, gol! Il magnifico rettore!
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
Boom, boom, shake, shake, the room!
In the entertainment capital of the world.
What a strike! What a goal! What a comeback! What a game! There are no words to describe it!
It's the TC Martin Show.
Léger hors jeu, mais cette fois-ci, il n'y en a pas pour Marco Reus. Très fort devant le but!
Your daily prescription from the doctor, TC Martin.
Largo pifio, Messi la tiene, Messi. Ahí está Iniesta. Gol! Gol! Cerebro Iniesta.
The doctor is now in.
Glad to have you with us. Terrible Tuesday edition. TC Martin back at it. I want to thank Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman for carrying the load. You notice I'm not going to say what I said last time I took off for a few days, which was holding down the fort. Even though I guess that's apropos.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, but thank you very much for Friday and Monday, you guys.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Absolutely.
So. Billie Jean King, I mean, you get that on the show. It's legendary, iconic.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Hitting it hard today. Terrible Tuesday style. Oh, we got some targets for you today. Of course, that's the NFL, maybe a little NBA, and a whole lot more coming your way. Brian Salmon, he will join us, our good friend from News 3. He's out in Oak Town.
My buddy.
Yeah. Getting ready for the Raiders and the Rams. Playing here, Thursday night? So Thursday night, the exhibition season officially kicks off for everybody.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff. I mean, it's hard to imagine that football is already here and just a couple weeks away, and we'll be talking about the regular season, and I imagine we'll be doing our best bets again so I can hopefully improve on last season's placing and total. But
why don't you use the word redeem yourself? That's what you need to do. Redeem yourself.
I like improve. Because if I improve, I will. No, you know what? It's weird. I went from nothing to winning to last.
There's another R word there that we could use with the
repugnant.
No, it's has something to do with the attire that you're wearing today, with the soccer shirt, which I am very impressed. You raided my closet because Magnum has my German national team jersey on with the four stars.
Yes. There you go.
No,
and the
R
World Cup champions. Patch in the middle.
Which you raided my closet. When you told me that it was a double X, I said, well, obviously you didn't raid my closet because I'm not a double X. But no, the other R word, redeem yourself, but you could be regulated. Remember that.
Regulators! Mount up. Yeah.
Yeah, so they do in soccer, you know. You regulate teams that aren't up to snuff.
Relegate, yeah.
I said regulate.
Yeah. You want to start over?
Relegate. We can relegate you.
Yeah.
Relegation.
I like relegation. Relegation in pro sports, I love it. Because you know what? If you suck and there's no tanking in European soccer, right? Like, you're not tanking to get a high draft pick.
Right.
If you tank, you're going down to a lower league and you are losing millions of dollars.
How about the regulators, like you said, regular with Nate Dogg?
Yeah, Nate Dogg and Warren G.
There you go.
R.I.P. Nate Dogg. Love Nate Dogg.
Did Warren G and Nate Dogg a couple years ago, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Obviously before Nate Dogg went on to doggy heaven. But,
right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, was it Warren G is Snoop Dogg's cousin? Is that
the dealio?
I think so. And they all went to Long Beach Poly High School.
Absolutely correct. There you go.
I don't know the name of their football team, but I know they're a very good football team.
Oh, Long Beach Poly, strong.
Yeah.
Strong.
Lots of good players have come out of there.
Better than Long Beach State.
I bet you. Well, considering Long Beach State doesn't have a football team, I would take Long Beach Poly over Long Beach State.
Exactly. Back in the day, Long Beach State was semi-decent.
George Allen.
They're okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised I knew that name.
George Allen, look at that.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Sacramento Sports Hall of Famer, Danny Buns.
Went to
Long Beach State.
The old 49ers.
Yeah, there you go.
Although the baseball team is the Dirtbags.
There you go. Well, not technically. It's no. Just their nickname, the Dirtbags, is still the 49ers.
Yeah, they're their baseball team has not been very good for a couple of years.
And Fullerton's been down a little bit, too.
Yeah, you know what? These bigger schools in the SEC are really starting to... But, so how was Sacramento? I didn't even ask you.
Sacramento was great. As you can tell, my voice is shot after three big events.
Sinbad and, I saw you were hanging out with Zap.
Yes, Zap. Great guys to work with.
No, Roger?
Roger passed many years ago. He was up there with Nate Dogg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See,
but
different genres. So I know that, was it? But Simpson from Ashford and Simpson, or was it Ashford from Ashford and Simpson?
That passed?
Yeah.
Because one of them... Nick Ashford passed away.
Okay.
Yeah,
Valerie
Simpson.
I knew one was the girl, one was the guy.
Yeah, Valerie Simpson's still good.
I should
Nick
put that
away.
In the rejoiners.
Yeah, you absolutely
solid
should.
As a rock.
There you go. Very nice. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the Zap video. And the modern generation can relate to Zap because of the work with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, a lot of sampling and stuff.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know, California Love, all that stuff. But... yeah, there you go. And then it was the farewell tour of George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
George still has it going. And then farewell tour of the OJs.
The OJs. The Whispers. Love Train. The Whispers? Yeah. Really? Yeah. They're done too? They're hanging it up?
Well, no, they're still going, but they were on the bill.
Yeah.
Along with your boys, and I've mentioned this on the show before, Jay King and Club Nouveau.
Oh, yeah. So Lean On Me. And
there you go. They closed with Lean On Me and opened with Rumors.
Oh, man. Yeah, Rumors is great.
So you'd like that.
How many other songs do they play?
Oh, my God. They've actually...
They're a Sacramento group. So,
correct.
They have a following up there.
Yeah.
Now, if they came here, not unless you were a big Club Nouveau fan, you probably wouldn't know more than Rumors or...
No. Jealousy was big. All right. Lean On Me. Like you said, Situation Number 9.
I may know that one.
Situation Number 9. Blowing my mind. So, speaking of Vegas, now this show is taking a whole different turn now.
That's kind of what I like to do.
I know, and you drive it well that direction. They are coming to Vegas in a couple weeks.
Really?
If you'd like to go, you can go.
You'll have to let me know when.
All right.
We can talk about that off the air.
Yeah, there you go. But they'll be here in a couple weeks.
Club Nice. Where are they playing? You got to promote it, right? Since you mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure the venue. They told me the venue, but I don't want to say.
Smaller place then.
I want to say... It's either the Cannery or it's on the big show at the Orleans. Might be one of the big shows at the Orleans.
Oh.
You know. So
I bet
you
Willie Ramirez knows. He might be there. Front row center.
Any of those type of things. But I get it mixed up because several of the guys in touring, they're going to be here. I think Zap will be coming back as well, too. So
yeah, because we had talked about going to the one at the Orleans. I think it was in April. And
we got to get Brian Salmon to go if the Jets are playing, but they're not playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the Jets. Yeah, he likes the Jets.
Of course,
I like the Jets too.
I like the Jets too.
So. Although there's only like two of them left.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, we talked about this before. You got two different versions of the Jets. So anyway,
that's kind of like you have two different versions of the Beach Boys.
You got a couple of versions. You got two Houdinis too.
Really?
Oh yeah. There's plenty of two different groups out there. I could go on and on. We do a whole show about
that. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I discovered that Houdini was not one guy. It was three guys.
It was three guys.
Right. I always thought it was just the one guy, and I'm like, oh well, the one guy, Houdini, and turns out there are multiple members of Houdini.
Yes. Yeah. So there you have it.
Obviously, not friends anymore.
To a certain degree, they're okay. They're much better than Naughty by Nature.
Yeah, well, those two guys don't even talk to each other.
Exactly. I think I've shared that one.
Which is a shame. Yeah. Vinny and Tretch, come on.
Yeah.
And then you have the KG. I don't know whose side he's on.
Well, Tretch is the problem.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
So KG's probably rolling with Vinny then.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, they room together.
KG was a DJ, for those who don't know.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. And don't forget,
represent East Orange, New Jersey.
And the Crown Royal is always on stage with Tretch. Don't forget that.
Oh, he was married to one of the singers from Salt and Peppa. I don't know if it was Salt or Peppa that he was married to. But he was married to one of them.
Sure wasn't Spice?
No, I don't think. No, Spinderella was the one that I liked in that group. Woohoo, Spinderella.
All right. As soon as you're done, we'll get to Terrible Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, some people could be viewing this as Terrible Tuesday.
They might. They probably are.
But you got to love the funk.
Yes, got to love the funk.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
Well, Ezekiel Elliott says he's not playing this season without a new contract. Of course, that's the big headlines today. This is according to Elliott and his agent. Check this out. I don't know if a lot of people are talking about this. Apparently, this news was delivered to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones back in January. Why are we just talking about this within the last week or two? So Jerry Jones, apparently, according to Elliott and his agent, they've known that Zeke was not going to play this year until he gets a new contract. So this holdout could actually last until the regular season. But he said, this is Zeke saying, that he had faith that Jerry Jones would get it done. Now, here's the question. How has Jerry Jones handled this ultimatum? Because clearly now it is an ultimatum where I'm not showing up until a new deal is done. Now, Jones has said he needs to keep all his talent under one roof. That's his quote. And he means because he is also negotiating with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. The Cowboys insist they have made solid offers to all three of these players, including Elliott, and that would put them at least in the top five contracts at their respective positions, but they've been frustrated by the lack of engagement in a negotiation. So Jerry Jones says, we've put it out there. We've been talking with them, but they're not coming back. So at this point, we know Prescott and Cooper are in camp. Ezekiel isn't. And this continues to not be a good look. And we always talk about Ezekiel Elliott. He could be one of our, I guess, regular stars for Terrible Tuesday.
Yeah,
of the other boneheads that we always mention.
Yeah, he gives a couple of guys a run for their money. But, here's the problem. I think Zeke Elliott is probably a top five running back.
He definitely is.
I don't feel that Amari Cooper is. He's maybe top 10 receiver. Dak Prescott is definitely not a top five quarterback.
No, he's not. But I'll say this about Amari Cooper. When Amari Cooper was at Alabama and coming into the draft, he was regarded as one of the top three or four wide receivers. Then he went to that mess in Oakland.
Yes.
And no one was successful there. Heck, Jordy Nelson.
He retired.
Exactly.
Or he is retiring. Yeah.
Well, he did retire because of the mess in Oakland. But we saw what Amari Cooper could do when he went over to Dallas last season. And I think there's hope for him. And remember, he put up great numbers, like you said, with a middling quarterback.
Yes.
Let's be honest. That's what Dak Prescott is. He's a middling quarterback.
Yeah, he's definitely not a top five quarterback.
No. I mean, he's not even Tony Romo, and we don't think much of Tony Romo.
Romo's okay.
Okay, but he's...
I think history will be much kinder to Tony Romo than we are.
Well, down the road. I mean, everyone always gets better, after they retire, right? So, but this is not a good look. I mean, we talked about the EDC with Ezekiel Elliott. The weed shop in Seattle, it goes on and on with this clown. Back to Ohio State, we always talk about that. But now you're blowing off training camp, and you're being very visible, and you're being very vocal about staying in Cabo. I'm in Cabo. You guys are training. I'm not. I'm training in Cabo. I'm on the beach. That's the rhetoric we've been hearing for the last week and a half with Ezekiel Elliott. So, not a good look. At what point in time, if you're Jerry Jones, do you just say, stop, that's enough, let's plan on moving on? Because if that is true, and I have every right to believe that Jerry Jones says, because Jerry Jones has offered up a lot of money, he's not going to lowball you. He's going to offer those three guys top five contracts, I believe it, but it's not enough for Ezekiel Elliott. And remember, this is a guy that is still owed $12.95 million for 2 years. That's $6 million a season.
Yeah, not bad.
And you're sitting that out. So clearly, this is about ego. That's exactly what it's about. Because he's got a contract, being rewarded handsomely for showing up, but he's electing not to do so. Other NFL training camp holdouts. It's still going on with Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. He requested last week that the Chargers trade him after the team remained at their initial offer of approximately only $10 million preseason, not enough for Melvin Gordon and his agent. That one, as we've talked about before, could last a long time. Gordon's scheduled to make $5.6 million this season, final year of his contract. And JD Clowney, I'm choking here, man.
Yeah.
Need some water. So Clowney with the Texans said he will report after week three of the preseason. So clearly this isn't about really money with Clowney.
Yeah.
What's it all about?
Not playing preseason.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, and we've heard the stories. We've talked about it. This guy's taken off plays before. Yeah. And I question his effort at times, no doubt about it. This clearly tells me it's not about the money.
Well, this guy could have been the first overall pick, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is about working or not working. That's what it's about.
Well, the reality is the CBA is coming up, and it sounds like there is probably going to be a work stoppage. But the thing is, if you are a player in the league, there should be a few things you go into this CBA with. You know, because you're never going to get guaranteed money. It's never going to happen where you get a guaranteed contract, because injuries are far too frequent, especially career-ending injuries or career-changing injuries. But the one thing I want to see the preseason reduced. Get rid of two games in the preseason. I think you'll avoid a lot less of these problems, because I do believe a lot of these guys just truly don't feel like playing in the preseason. They don't feel like showing up to training camp. They don't want to put the work in. They just want to show up and play.
But the only way that happens, if the NFL goes to the 18-game season,
they'll have to go with the two. Extra, yeah.
Because no way the owners are going to give up two preseason games. Because remember,
they make a lot of money.
The fans are getting full freight. Even though people aren't showing up to the preseason, you still have to pay for those.
Well, that's
the same price as a regular season game.
There was a time I owned Charger season tickets with two other guys.
My condolences.
And, well, this is when the Chargers were really good.
Okay.
We were forced to buy.
Still had to sit in that stadium, though.
Yeah, dump. But we had good seats. But, you know, that we still were forced to pay for the preseason games. Right. And it's like, all right, you know. And I can remember when we had Jet season tickets, we had to pay for them, but they were reduced. And then they went to where you're paying full price. And, you know, to me, it's garbage, but it is what it is. And if you want to own season tickets, this is what you have to deal with. And unfortunately, the players have to deal with it, too, that preseason is part of your job.
You know, the bottom line is you are just preaching team-oriented stuff. Well, everything you do in training camp is team, team, team. Clearly, these three clowns that we talked about, they don't care about their teammates.
No.
They don't at all. And we saw it last year with Le'Veon Bell. Saw it with Antonio Brown to a certain extent as well, too. Especially training camp with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, where they thought, okay, we got your back. We're going to be good for a week or two. And then week three comes along. Okay, now you're not here. Now it's opening day. You're not here. Forget you. Then all of a sudden they turned on them, you know, like Mr. Blender from Paul Orndorff. So there you go. Plain and simple. They don't care about their teammates. Let's go, man. All right. Here's one for you. You'll like this. So the Packers are doing a dual practice with the Houston Texans.
Oh, I saw this. So, yeah.
And the reason why they did this, people go, why the Houston Texans and Green Bay Packers? Because of J.J. Watt. So people in Wisconsin can come back and see J.J. Watt, of course, who starred at Wisconsin. Of course, he broke the kid's bike. You saw that.
And now, he did buy him a new bike.
He did. That's great. But why is a 290-pounder trying to sit on that a three-year-old's bike? Do you see how small that bike was?
No. Well, maybe J.J. Watt's just a big guy.
Well, no, but that was a tiny bike. It wasn't like it was a teenager's bike. But anyway, that's not the Terrible Tuesday part. Here's the Terrible Tuesday part. So cornerback Lonnie Johnson.
Junior.
Junior, rookie out of Kentucky, by the way. All right, so in the joint practice with the Texans and the Packers, he is a cornerback for Houston. The Texans rookie decided to show off just how aggressive he can be on defense and leveled some hits on the Packers receivers. You're not supposed to do this, especially when it was a non-contact drill. There's no tackling. So Lonnie Johnson Jr., as you point out, wanted to try to make the team. So that's where the problem is. It was a non-tackling drill. Bill O'Brien said, what are you doing? He leveled this Packer rookie tight end. He leveled the poor guy. Jay Sternberger.
Sternberger. I'm thinking of Mary Steenburgen.
Well, same difference. But Sternberger. And we saw he had a pretty good college career. Got his helmet knocked off. The poor guy got tested for a concussion. You're laughing about this guy.
I should have been laughing at that part. Yes.
But the good news, but I'll allow you to laugh. Because
he's okay.
He was able to return. It's okay. But Lonnie Johnson Jr. couldn't understand why he got kicked out of practice. Bill Bryant said, that's it, rookie, you're gone.
Now, oh, man.
Here he's trying to impress. He's trying to make a team, and I can appreciate that. But now, realistically, what's the shot of this guy making the team now?
Oh, I wish it was.
He's got zero shot.
I wish there. I hope there's video of this somewhere, because I want to see it. Because it's hysterical that this lunatic is running around in non-contact drills, leveling wide receivers and tight ends.
Yeah.
Like at some point, how come someone on the Packers just didn't get up and kick his butt?
Oh man.
if you're that guy who had his helmet knocked off, you're looking around at your teammates saying, "Don't you guys have my back?" Apparently, they don't. He must stink.
Well, what if you put yourself in that position? I'm not saying you got to level receivers, but you're hustling. You're trying to be aggressive. And this is what they want you to do on special teams during the course of the regular season, right?
Maybe. I bet you Lonnie Johnson Jr. makes the Texans.
Okay. I have not seen Lonnie Johnson Jr. play. I only know this story. I don't even know what round he was drafted in.
I don't even know if he was drafted.
So I'm going to take the no on this one.
Let's see. I want to see if he was drafted.
Well, we're going to make the wager blindly here. This is
resume thing. We're going in blind. Here we go. Lonnie Johnson Jr.
I say no.
Oh, there might be video of it.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Where was he drafted? Because I might have to, change.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going in blind. Guess what? He was a second round draft pick.
Uh-oh. but he might make the team.
Yes. Where did he go to? Oh, he went to Kentucky. High School Westside Leadership Academy. Well, clearly, they didn't teach him too much leadership at Westside Leadership Academy. That's like the church from Friday that Bernie Mac was the pastor. Around here, we call that a city sin.
Oh, man. Well, at least the good news is Lonnie Johnson Jr. got it early out, so he got to go have a few beers at Anduzzi's across the street.
Yes.
There you go. NBA All-Decade Team. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I've heard some griping about
it. Okay, so we got to go through this. So here's your All-Decade Team.
From what decade?
This recent decade.
So 2010 to 2019.
Yeah, we're the tail end. Which I wish they would have this come out maybe next year, give you one more season. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. That is your first team. No question about that.
Okay.
Team two. Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, and your boy, Carmelo Anthony. We'll pause there for a second. Team three, Dwayne Wade, Paul George, LaMarcus Aldridge, the Greek Freak, and Kobe Bryant.
So is there a reason you saved him to the very end?
Oh, yes. There's a reason. So let's start with that. How does Kobe Bryant get on the third team?
Yeah, he should be on the first team.
Here's what my problem is, and this is what media tends to do. Not all media, but there's a lot of media that does this. The Janet Jackson theory, what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
The first half of the decade should count just as much, if not more, in my opinion, than the latter half of the decade.
Yes.
And clearly, the only reason that guys like LaMarcus Aldridge are on this list.
Yes.
Okay, the last maybe couple years. But I mean, there's a lot of questions. But let's first start with Kobe Bryant. Third team. This guy's one of the top five, maybe six greatest players of all time.
Yes.
He's on the third team of 2010 to 2019.
Yes. Okay. So there are some clear omissions here. Obviously, Kobe Bryant should be much higher up.
Oh, I'm getting there.
I didn't hear Tim Duncan's name.
Okay. I'll give you another. How about Dirk Nowitzki?
I did not hear Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
Finals MVP.
Yes.
Dirk Nowitzki. Multiple-time All-Star.
Right. Dirk Nowitzki, up until last year, was still averaging 18, 20 points a game.
Yes.
During the entire decade. Finals MVP.
I did not hear Kevin Garnett's name.
There he goes, another one.
I did not hear Paul Pierce.
Did not hear Paul Pierce.
So
I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Steve Nash.
Another MVP.
There you go.
You know, I mean,
now if you want to go modern era, you want to do this game with the current media, where's Klay Thompson?
Yeah, yeah.
You got Kevin Durant. You got Steph Curry. Granted, Klay Thompson's not going to be first team, maybe not even second. He's got to be in the third team, Klay Thompson. Come on.
I mean, reality is Kevin Garnett was a 15-time All-Star multiple times in this decade.
Thank you. But again, you just ignore. I don't know how they came up with this list, who's voting, how they decided, but LaMarcus Aldridge? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that seems
like a reach. What has he won? Nothing? This is a joke, man. So, Carmelo Anthony, we can go on and on about this because we both feel the same way about this clown.
Overrated. Giannis, look, I like Greek Freak. But
too early.
But he's only been a dominant force for like two seasons.
Right.
I get Blake Griffin, good player. I'm all right with Chris Paul being where he is. But mean, just total lack of respect shown to guys who played, who retired in the earlier part of the decade.
I don't know what the criteria is here, but here's what the criteria should be if you're going to do an all-decade team or anything for that matter that you're voting on the best in any sport, okay? So let's say, sticking to basketball here with these guys, was he, whoever you're voting here, the best basketball player alive at any point in his career? And we're talking all decade. Is a guy the best basketball player alive at any point in his career? Then you could say, could you win a championship with this guy as your best player? Or even your second best player. Can you win a championship? Right there, we eliminate Carmelo Anthony. Right there, we eliminate LaMarcus Aldridge. We probably eliminate a lot of other Hammenagers as well.
I mean, no Manu Ginobili.
Okay, there's another one.
Tony Parker?
Yeah, but there you go. We're just discrediting the Spurs altogether.
Yeah, I mean, complete lack of respect to the Spurs. And here's another guy who I think a lot of people kind of forgot he had a really good career. Pau Gasol.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him on this list, though. I wouldn't.
He did win, what, two titles?
He did. Nice international player. Maybe better international player than a NBA player. But no, very good.
I mean, he was two-time All-NBA second team in 2011 and 2015. Six-time All-Star.
We got to look at it as the top 15 guys of the decade.
Okay.
The top 15.
He may not qualify as top 15.
But these other guys we're talking about, definitely.
Tony Parker.
Perennial All-Star. Year every in, year. A no-brainer. Here's the other part of the criteria I would consider. Is like, okay, how well did he play on the game's biggest stage? Did he just, fail at the moment, or did he rise to the occasion? Carmelo Anthony right there.
Yeah.
Did not rise to the occasion. Didn't play any meaningful games. Yeah, didn't win any championships.
Didn't play one Western Conference Finals?
One. That's it. So,
and that may have been before 2010.
Yeah. So to me, this list, it's a great talking point, but are you serious?
Yeah. For Carmelo to be on a list higher than Kobe is absolutely asinine.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant, your third team, and all that. So just...
That's a joke.
It's a joke. All right. There you go. All right. Terrible Tuesday stuff. Okay. We will...
You're going to watch the Ocho tomorrow? And that's full of Terrible Tuesday.
Yeah. You want to dive into that? Explain that a little bit.
Well, ESPN...
Are we going to have Dodgeball like 16 times?
Well, yeah, because for those who have never seen the movie Dodgeball, and if you haven't, you are... I don't know why you even bother watching sports, but one of the all-time great comedy sports movies, Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
My God. The second time I've done something like that today.
Jerry Stiller's son.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller's son. Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
You had Rip, was it Rip Torn?
Yeah, he was in there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He played Patches. The girl who's Christine Taylor, right? Very attractive young lady. The guy from Office Space, my stapler guy.
Yeah, Milton, whatever his real name is. Yeah,
Stephen Root.
Yeah, Stephen Root, very nice.
So they broadcast the game on ESPN. Although it's funny, if you ever really watch the movie, there's a Fox Sports West logo in the corner on the court. but they have they broadcast, and Jason Bateman is the color guy, and where the famous "That's a Bold Strategy" cotton comes from. But they broadcast it on the Ocho,
right?
Which is like the ESPN version where they show all these weird sports. Well, tomorrow ESPN will do the Ocho.
But I want to know what else is going to be on there. Axe throwing? That's where
yes,
it should be?
Yes.
There it is.
Have you seen the preview? By the way, Ultimate Frisbee was on last Sunday.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
But they have something where this guy is throwing a ball at a guy holding bowling pins above his head. I don't even know what that is. It looks like it's insanity.
How about the tweet of the year? Why don't you put the Monty Python tweet of the year on the Ocho?
Pirates, the Long John Silver impersonators.
Can you
against the Watford gynecologist?
Permission from BBC Two to go on the Ocho? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? All right, your terrible Tuesday takes.
Tomorrow, because it is Ocho, I should have Monty Python's Flying Circus as a rejoin.
Please do. Please do. Full authority there. Okay? And maybe in tomorrow's show, you can actually produce some an Ocho segment and give us some of the craziest stuff.
Well, I might have to wait till Thursday.
Okay. Well, I mean.
I'll see what we can do.
Yeah, why don't you come up with your own for tomorrow?
Okay.
And then we can compare it to what the lineup is.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
There it is. All right. There you go. Terrible Tuesday. Hit us at TC Martin 21 on Twitter, Fox Sports LV. We come back. Brian Salmon joins us, News 3 from Oaktown. Ah.
right smack dab in the middle of training camp, and we got exhibition season underway coming up on Thursday. Of course, I know we had the Hall of Fame game last week, but Raiders getting ready to get in action there in Oakland, working out in Napa, and they will actually be playing in the Coliseum. Is that right? They're actually playing in the Coliseum. They're actually going to give them a home game after just dispersing them across the world during the course of the regular season. Our guy, Brian Salmon, News 3, is there in Oaktown. What's going on, Mr. Bay Area?
Mr. Bay Area, I'm back home. Yeah, we just actually drove from Oakland to Napa. We're about to get to the hotel here in a hot second, man. Happy to be home.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to some people about you last weekend because I had some people that drove down from Vallejo to my concerts over the weekend in Sacramento, and it was kind of funny. And then you got your boy E40 talking about Vallejo as well, too.
I saw him last night on ESPN on SportsCenter, and right away I heard him give some love to Brian Salmon in Vallejo.
Exactly.
I was like, I think he said he's released 26 albums.
26.
That's unreal.
Right. Exactly.
How Bay about Area that? Legend. That's crazy. Actually, I saw that on SportsCenter last night, and I was telling Robert and Jesse that E40 was on there representing the Valley Joe. So, yeah, I'm loving it, man.
Well, yeah, but Jesse knows nothing about E40 or Valley Joe. You got to remember that.
He doesn't know anything about the Valley Joe, but he's heard of E40.
I know he's from California. I didn't realize it because I know he came from Alabama, and every time I see him, I'm like, what's up, Alabama? He's like, I am from California. I was like,
he's a little surfer kid, man. He's from Southern Cal, yeah.
There you go, man. All right, so going down to Napa, checking out the Raiders, man. What's your thoughts here?
Well, I mean, the big thing is tonight, Hard Knocks starts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big deal for the Raiders to kind of see, like, how the first week and a half of training camp is going with no Antonio Brown. But really, the reason why we are here is because starting tomorrow, the Raiders and the Rams, they start their joint practices for 2 days, of course. That's the team that they play in their first preseason game in Oakland on Saturday. So that's the reason why we're here. I'm looking forward to seeing how the team looks going up against somebody else and actually see if Antonio Brown ever gets on the field.
Right, right. Well, it's probably going to be like Clowney, It's, okay, I'll sit out the first couple preseason games, maybe even the third one, and then I'll come and join you. But again, this should be nothing new. I mean, when the Raiders signed Antonio Brown, you knew exactly what you were getting, all right? You're going to get a guy that is probably the best, if not the best, one of the top three or four best wide receivers in the league. There's no question about that. But, the work ethic is great when he's there, but he can be a malcontent. If he's not getting his hands on the ball, there's going to be some problems. If things start going south, team starts losing games, he's not getting his touches. If it happened in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, and it happened in Pittsburgh under Ben Roethlisberger's watch, what's it going to be like here in Oakland? And really, nothing against the Raiders, but it is what it is. The Raiders are what the Raiders are. This franchise has been a mess for a very long time. And when John Gruden came here, we saw more of the same last year. Signing players that with questionable backgrounds and everything. How much discipline have we seen in the John Gruden era, even though it was only one season and maybe a couple weeks of training camp into it?
I'm wondering a little bit about that. I'm on the other side of the fence when people talk about Antonio Brown as far as like his work ethic, because that's one thing that people talk about, that no one works harder than him. But as far as like the antics and the Facebook Live inside the locker room, that was terrible. The showing up in the hot air balloon, but only practicing like maybe a half of time just once in training camp so far. So, I mean, that's not necessarily good, but I don't think that Antonio Brown is the malcontent, the person that a lot of people seem to think he is. His teammates seem to like him. Ben Roethlisberger, to me, is more of a problem in a checkered pass than Antonio Brown as far as like on the Pittsburgh side. Mike Tomlin seems like a good coach, but they had a circus going on over there. Le'Veon Bell, Roethlisberger, the Antonio Brown stuff. It seems like things weren't going all that well there. We'll see what happens with the Raiders. I mean, nothing crazy happened last year with those guys that they signed with the checkered pass that you were alluding to. And I think once AB gets on the field, I think things will be good, but that's yet to be seen because he's got these blistering feet. His dogs are barking, baby.
Well, Richie Incognito, I mean, he comes over talking about checkered pass, then boom, you know, gets suspended again. So, I mean, there are those situations. And I'll go back to the Pittsburgh thing. I don't think, you know, you say Roethlisberger checkered past. I mean, yeah, maybe some bar incidents or, you know, one bar incident 7 years ago or whatever that was. But for the most part, I mean, you could look at guys like James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster. You look at guys like that. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers rarely have those type of guys that affect the team. Now, they got one with Le'Veon Bell. Okay, but that had nothing to do with the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers were totally in the right with that. That guy refused to play. His contract was there. They franchised him, giving him more money than anybody else. Same thing with Antonio Brown. It was Antonio Brown's that says, hey, I don't want to play. I'm not going to play. Mike Tomlin disciplined him. And then Antonio Brown makes Mike Tomlin, the organization, the bad guys? No. So I just, even when you look at this, and I'm not saying the Raiders are perpetuating that. I'm not saying that at all. But it just seems like, when you say the Raiders, what comes to mind? Two things, in my opinion, come to mind. It's like the losing, the constant losing, whatever it's been now, what, 13 of the last 14 seasons. And then, oh, my God, you know, the players that they have here and, you know, with questionable pass and then questionable draft picks and Jamarcus Russell types and this and that. So I know they're coming to Vegas. We want to move on. We want to look at the bright side, brother. But it's just like when you come in, it'd be nice to clean the slate and bring in some new guys that just aren't about me. That's all. I think fans want to see that.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I love this. We can have a good, healthy debate. I think that, one, if you have all receivers are all about me, I don't think there's a receiver alive that's not about me because you have to be about me in order to get the football because you can't give the ball to yourself. So you have to be self-centered in order to produce and help the team and all that kind of good stuff. But as far as the whole Le'Veon Bell, remember he got caught smoking weed. I mean, that was something way before the
right.
whole.
That was on the individual. I'm just saying the individual, yeah. Right? Yeah, just like Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. He's a bozo too, you know. So I don't think we could.
I love the guy holding out, man. Like I'm pro player. Yeah. I'm pro player. I'm pro get your money, especially in football where they have no rights. I mean, like the guys, you know, they can sign these guaranteed contracts for $50 million and you get 10 of it, and they can cut you and. You end up getting, you know, maybe half of it. So, I mean, that's just my personal opinion as far as football is concerned. I'd like to see guys get as much as they can get because as soon as they get washed up and they've had too many carries, DeMarco Murray, they get rid of you.
Right.
Just like the Cowboys, you know, they ran him into the ground, signed him into the contract, and then got rid of him. So I'm for guys. Zeke is an idiot now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Elliott is, but the stuff that he pulled in Las Vegas and all of that. But as far as him getting his money, I'm for guys trying to get their money.
All right, B-Sal joined us live from Oakland on his way to Napa. Be covering the Rams and the Raiders joint practices and then the game coming up Saturday, the Oakland-Alameda County Coliseum, which is not called that anymore. Who knows what it's called now. But anyway, so we talked about the Hard Knocks, and of course, love Hard Knocks. Been watching it since the inception, going whatever it's been, 16, 20 years ago. Love that, and it'll be interesting to see where they're going. With you going down there, you and Jesse and the crew, what stories are you looking at shooting to bring back to the local audience here? Do you got in your mindset like, okay, you want to do a player profile? Is there an angle or two that you're looking at? Give us kind of an update.
Well, one, just to find out what the team thinks about joint practice with the LA Rams. I mean, that's something that I think everyone wants to see, whether in Las Vegas or national, to talk about that. And then some of the players, try to get the people in Las Vegas to know some of these players, like the Jonathan Abram, the kid that played in the charity softball game that was here. He's a first-round pick. He's a safety out of Mississippi State, I believe. You know, so like the people in Las Vegas can kind of get to know some of these players that are on the team. That's something that we're going to look forward to doing, like shooting some one-on-one interviews, that sort of thing. Trent Brown, that big, huge tackle, the guy that they got from the New England Patriots who signed the richest contract of any offensive lineman ever. So that's some stuff we're looking at doing. And then obviously covering like I said, the joint practice and the actual game that takes place on Saturday. And the game is actually on Channel 3. So
there you go.
That's something else as well. Like, tune in. check it out. So live. They will be live at 6 o'clock here tonight.
I'm on it. Did Jonathan Abram get thrown out rounding first base, too, in the softball game?
Oh, this guy, TC. I thought you were my guy.
I am your guy.
No, he did not. I think he was the one who threw the ball to first base, I think. But he's also the one who said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
See, there you go. I mean, that's the interview right there. You got to go one-on-one with him and say, come on, man, you threw me out. What's up with this? How can I give you love? You embarrass
well, you know
me in front of everybody.
Talk to him, he will bring up the charity softball game, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm just giving you a bad time, man. I wouldn't dish it out if I knew you couldn't take it, man. There you go. Hey, Brian, I want to talk to you about this. I know you were probably over at the Mendenhall Center yesterday, and I want to get your take on USA basketball. We all know they're training here for the upcoming FIBA World Cup in China. This roster, as we know, has suffered so many defections. And when you look at this current roster, I mean, clearly it is not the best that Team USA can have here. And it seems like more and more that we're getting the guys that are saying, you know what? I don't want to play. It's cutting into my summertime. And now it's just, you know, here we go. It's a domino effect. But, you know, there's one thing that CJ McCollum brought up today, and it was pretty telling, in my opinion, is that he was kind of afraid that this team wouldn't be very good. And some of the guys are not playing because they don't want to be part of a potential embarrassment. Because no one's going to say anything if Team USA wins, because they're going to expect them to beat China and Serbia and Senegal and those sort of things. You know, those teams could pull some upsets. But as you know, if they're not winning by 20 plus, they're going to get scrutinized. And if they don't win the World Cup, then all of a sudden everybody will be talking about it. So I don't know. What are your thoughts when you attended camp?
Wow. Well, first of all, let me say this. I was at practice yesterday at the Mendenhall Center, which you probably saw from some of the social media stuff that I put out. And your guy was on SportsCenter last night. Actually, they had my voice asking a question to Greg Popovich about, you know, him talking to the players and whether or not he talks to them about representing their country and just how much it should mean to them by playing on the United States national team. And they actually ran that soundbite on the air and my question. So I just had to break my arm, pat myself in the back. I felt cool that I actually made it on SportsCenter finally. But to your question, I think that's crazy. I can't believe that C.J. McCollum actually said that. That he thought that maybe the team wouldn't be any good and they wouldn't win? Are you kidding me? They still have NBA players on it. The team isn't going to be as good as it would be if they had Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving and all these, you know, C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard and everyone else. But they now have the potential to be a team that has a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. And can actually be pretty good. And that's actually something I asked Donovan Mitchell, and he kind of talked about that. He's like, you know, we got a bunch of guys that weren't supposed to be here, and the world probably thinks that, oh, we can get the United States now. So this is a time where they actually have they're almost underdogs in a sense.
Yeah, which is kind of strange.
I think it should be fun to watch.
But I think that thinking is prevalent, though, because we've heard this before when we haven't sent our best teams to the Olympics or World Championships. There are players and even media members and coaches that said, you know, some of the guys don't want to play because they only want to be part of a super team or a stellar team. So I think that fraction's out there. No one will admit it. No one really wants to talk about it. But when you hear some of these sound bites, it's like it makes you wonder. It's like, okay, he's not playing this and that. But, yeah, I think the USA is definitely ripe for the picking when you look at this roster. I believe, you've got maybe, five All-Stars of this group of 16? That's unheard of when you're putting
together.
Three.
There's only three.
There you go. That's right. Three. Think about that. I mean, when does that ever happen in our country since we've been putting teams together? If you're going back, you know, pre-pros.
Agree.
Wow.
No, I agree that they're kind of ripe for the picking. Like, they can be ripe for the picking, but I think that this is when your competitive spirit comes out with the guys that they have on that team. The Donovan Mitchells of the team. The Chris Middletons. I mean, the three All-Stars are on there. Kemba Walker, I talked to him about that. The maybe Kyle Lowry, if he gets cleared, the surgery they had on his hand. But he's the third one. So Donovan, they had Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, and Kyle Lowry are the three All-Stars that are on that team.
I know.
And those are guys that can help lead this team if they get a chance to play. It's going to be interesting to see, because I agree with you in the fact that they are ripe. The team isn't as good as teams that we've seen in previous years, but they're still NBA players. They still have Greg Popovich as your head coach, and they still have an opportunity to win.
All right.
And one quick thing. Steve Kerr says that the reason that a lot of guys probably aren't playing is because when they get done playing in the game, I believe they're going to Australia, it'll be like 2 weeks left before training camp starts, and they probably didn't want to give up their entire summer. That's
I understand that.
He thinks a lot of guys didn't.
But I'm going to throw this stat at you real quick here, is that, you know what? It's only Team USA. It's only the American players. The Greek Freak's going to go play for Greece. You've seen the Gasols go run to play for Spain. They never hesitate.
Yeah.
We used to see the Lithuanian players, the Russian players, the Ukrainian players. They go, the Serbians, the Croatian players, they have no problem. This is an American thing, and that's what stinks about this.
I agree completely, 1,000%. I agree 1,000%. That's terrible that they didn't do that. And that's why I asked Greg Popovich whether or not he had to talk to the players, or if he would talk to the players about what this should represent to them playing for their country. He said, absolutely. And he talked about, you know, how proud of a moment it should be for them. But just like you said, these American players nowadays, man, these guys, you know, they're not as nationalistic as they should be in wanting to play for their country.
There you go.
I completely agree. It's a shame.
All right, brother, we'll let you go. Have fun in Napa. We'll look forward to your reports on Channel 3.
Thank you very much. TC, man, love being on the show, man. I appreciate it, my man.
You got B, Sal. Take care. Tell Jesse hello. You guys have a good time down there in NorCal, baby.
I'll let Jesse know you said what up, man. All right, take it easy.
All right, there it is. Brian Salmon, check out his coverage on News 3 all week long. All right. Terrible Tuesday, TC Martin Show on Fox. All right, don't forget, Scott Spritzer will join us tomorrow. Talk some handicapping. Get ready for NFL preseason is here. Friday, we'll be on the road, just like we were last year. We're going to be at Legacy Stadium on Friday afternoons during the month of August. So come on out and join us. Great restaurant, great bar there. Got our nice little studio there inside the Palazzo Legacy Stadium downstairs. Come on by. It's one of the best viewing places to watch games. And the food, it's Emeril Lagasse. Are you kidding? The burgers, the steak sandwiches, prime rib sandwiches. You notice I keep talking about the food.
Well, it's also a nice sports book as well.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely correct.
And hopefully I'll get to eat out there this year.
You will. How many times did I invite you last
year?
Well,
the problem is the timing of it all.
Yeah. Open invitation, man. Just you can say, hey, I'm open, and I'll hit you.
All right.
You don't have to be that diva receiver saying that I never hit the open receiver
with
food.
I never said that.
I know.
You're good with the food. I know you're good for it.
So, yeah. Love to have you. I got to take, you know, Frank, too. I told Frank last week. I said, got to take care of the people. Take care of the people. But take care of me.
Yes, exactly.
That's how we do's it here.
Yes.
There you go. What's your thought about this roster that we're talking about here in this USA basketball?
Well, who's on it?
Well, when you look at this roster, you got Harrison Barnes, Jaylen Brown.
You. No, thank you.
Kyle Kuzma.
Maybe.
Brooke Lopez.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry injured.
So he's out.
Chris Middleton.
Maybe.
Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
You're going to love this one. Mason Plumlee.
What?
Mason Plumlee! Not Miles, but Mason.
I don't even think we need to go any further. I think this is a team that does not win the gold medal.
Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart.
Okay.
Jason Tatum.
Okay.
PJ Tucker.
Wow.
Miles Turner. Kemba Walker, which is about the only one that I endorse here. Thaddeus Young.
Oh, boy.
Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, this is not a gold medal winning team.
It is nowhere close.
In fact, that may not even be a silver medal winning team.
But we, you know, look at the pools. Let's look at
and
the competition.
And they're here in town.
Yeah, they're training here. So get ready to go to China for the World Cup.
You're paying for Team USA against Team USA?
Yeah.
These are the guys you're going to see.
Yes.
No Anthony Davis.
No.
No Steph Curry.
No anybody. What are you talking about? No LeBron James. No Steph Curry. James Harden. No Anthony Davis.
Donovan Mitchell and Kemba Walker are the two best guys on the team.
You're not going to see Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook.
Nope.
Kyrie Irving.
Nope.
Well, of course, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson injured, Paul George hurt. You're not going to see Kawhi Leonard. Jason Tatum.
Wow. No, Jason Tatum's on the team.
Yeah. Drew Holiday. Nope. Danny Green.
Wow.
Bradley Beal. Jimmy Butler. No. Draymond Green. No. Blake Griffin.
No.
Wow.
Andre Drummond? We thought we were. Oh, I remember Andre was here. Was on the show. He goes, I'm here training. And he left last week.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good one. We'll catch you tomorrow at 3:00.